Good morning, friends. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, and I had a revelation of sorts on my early morning drive, and it's about Black Lives Matter. And if you think Black Lives Matter is a good thing, you're right. And if you think it's a bad thing, you're also right. Now, what do I mean by that? I've been surveying the scene on social media, you know, reading comments, seeing posts, things people post. And it's such a brilliant tagline, Black Lives Matter. Because it's so nebulous. It's so ghostly. It's something you can't grasp and put a box around. Because number one, it's obviously true. Of course, Black Lives Matter. It's almost like it's a little psychological trick. It's almost like saying hashtag cars drive on roads. When you make a blanket statement that no one can disagree with, the average person should just like glitch out, cock an eyebrow, and drool on themselves when someone says Black Lives Matter, because it's like, okay, sky's also blue. But it's a genius thing because it's created camps of people. And what's my point? I'll just get right into it. If you survey the scene of the different memes that come off of this thing and people's responses and whatever, the big thing is people are just arguing the arrangement of the deck chairs on the Titanic. The problem is these people don't know they're on the Titanic. You know, from a 30,000-foot view in the sky looking down, this whole movement is an engineered thing that's being funded and propped up by billionaires. Billionaire companies, billionaire media, billionaire provocateurs like George Soros. Because they have a goal and an end in mind. And it's compartmentalized. And that's kind of the big thing I want to get into. Because if you picture in your mind a Venn diagram, which is two circles that overlap. Now, picture like a million of them and zoom way out. There's all these compartments where, you know, I think it's up to five Venn diagrams can have one focal point where they all agree, but a million can't. There's going to be, you know, and let's square it off. You know, take a scissors and square it off. You know, the one on the bottom left, that Venn diagram, you know, and they're all interlocking circles, is going to have no relation, seemingly, to the one on the top right. And that's the brilliance of this scheme. This Black Lives Matter scheme. Excuse me. Because every single individual that reads a tagline like that, Black Lives Matter, is going to have a different response, a different thought, a different feeling. And the thing is, yeah, no one's going to disagree with that. It might give you a weird gut feeling to say White Lives Matter. That's an inherent problem, but that's a different rabbit trail. But what I was thinking about and cogitating on was the brilliance of this thing that was cooked up by Marxists, and the gigantic disconnect that there is between the low-level people who get emotionally whipped up and, you know, sent out to whip up mobs and destroy property, And the people on the top who know they're fully and unashamedly manipulating people as pawns in a chess game. And the thing is, the people, you know, running these movements, they ain't even a king or a queen. They're like a knight or a bishop. And then there's a rook above them, which is, you know, like a governor who was let in on the plan. And then, like, the king and the queen is someone like George Soros, who's funding the whole thing. Because he did this in Ukraine. And he admitted to it. It's either him or Henry Kissinger, but I'm sure they're both on the same page, because both of them have the end game of global government. You can't have global government if one special group of people in the West, have rights that, you know, the rest of the planet doesn't, because that means they can't be exploited. If you don't have rights, you're exploited. Kind of like Chinese labor force and child labor. But pawns in a chess game don't really know why they're fighting, why they're messing around. And I've struggled with this because I don't know what my response is supposed to be. I can share some memes on Facebook, but, you know, that kind of pierce through the veil, so to speak, of showing the hypocrisy. But, you know, I've watched a few individuals rather closely, and who I think are, you know, fully taken over by the emotions of this thing. And it's so strange, because they're so far gone that you can't reason with them. And I haven't tried, but some have. But then in some of their memes that they share, they'll share the sentiments of the people that are trying to point out things that they think the whole movement is missing. And that could be two things. It could be they're seeing kind of the light of someone who said something somewhere, or the movement's kind of being destroyed and pierced through, and they're kind of modifying their message because the root dogma is being forced to change. It's kind of like how in the beginning of Black Lives Matter, you know, there could be a senator on TV saying all lives matter, and he gets booed off stage. But now it's like the movement has absorbed that. Instead of booing it, they absorb it and say, yes, of course, all lives matter, but black lives also matter. So the thing is, it's so deceptive. They got wise, or at least the leadership got wise. Instead of rejecting another nebulous term, they just decided to absorb it and say, yes, this actually agrees with us. It's a good tactic. It's like an Aikido move. You know, a martial art that uses the opponent's energy against them. It's like, okay, instead of booing that and, you know, the All Lives Matter thing and wanting to, you know, create a fake enemy, say, you know, absorb it and say, yes, we agree with that too. So they're kind of like broadening their dogma, so they don't dilute their own, so they don't take the wind out of their own sails, so they can keep people rioting and destroying property and, you know, harming people. So, and some of the stuff, if you ain't on the internet looking for it, you ain't gonna find it, but there's black people killing white people, you know, pulling them out of their cars and just beating the heck out of them. Most of these things are being whipped up by white people who are Antifa types. Some of these people are sons and daughters of people in government. They're agent provocateurs in Antifa. And, you know, the media just keeps us all busy in a fake debate. You know, I've said it before. And it just becomes so apparent and so so obvious at the end of the day that the media has structured the debate down to black and white, and it's literally not that at all. To where even when I observe both sides of the arguments and stuff, I can't help but think that, you know, even when there's black conservatives talking about, you know, they're on the front lines, and they're black people who understand that the whole thing is a giant manipulation, and they're even throwing out the name George Soros and whatever. That barely penetrates the mob at the time. It's similar to, if you've seen Passion of the Christ, where one of the Pharisees, you know, Pilate's trying to release Jesus or a criminal. The criminal obviously looks creepy, you know, Barabbas. And that's, we don't know if that's what he actually looked like or whatever, but, and Jesus is all whipped and bloody and looks like he's obviously had a just punishment, you know, more than just. And the Pharisee whips up the mob to say, crucify him. You know, mobs don't want facts. You can't do it. They're already out there. They've already invested, you know, their time and their feelings and their effort and their energy into the thing. And it, for someone to come along and to be able to quell a mass spirit, like the mass spirit of the crowd, you know, it'd be like being at a Super Bowl and your team won. And, you know, you're in one of those private glass boxes, and, you know, everyone's all hyped up and whatever, and someone from the other fan, you know, someone from the other team comes in with the jersey and is trying to take away, you know, the feelings you have. It's just not going to work. You know, facts don't matter when you whip up the mob. So when I look at, when I step back and look at how these things are being combated, it's very rare that facts prevail in a situation like this. And that's troubling, because then it seems like I'm giving credence to how evil manipulations work. And I won't lie, they do have power. They do have power. The problem is that power isn't sustainable. At the top, these Marxist leaders, it's a color revolution. And if, you know, color revolutions, you'd have to do some history dives for that. But it's kind of like, it's similar to how Che Guevara took over, or how Hitler took over with the brown shirts. You know, he put his people on the streets, and they just started creating chaos. And then the media could say it, spin however they want. Our media is doing that. So before I lose focus here, I'll just say it quick. A white person can be being attacked by, you know, some Black Lives Matter protesters, which are black people and white people, Antifa types and Black Lives Matter types. A white person will try to stop the event and defend themselves, and the media will get a snapshot and say, white supremacist lashes out at Black Lives Matter protesters. So they just label the white person as a white supremacist, and they always give the Black Lives Matter cover and call them protesters instead of rioters. It's similar to how the media for like a decade called Muslim immigrants refugees, when they weren't refugees at all. I won't get into that, but the media can just create the truth as they see fit, and the average person sees through it. It's just they're inundated by it. And this is where I think Hitler was right when he said, if you tell a lie big enough, long enough, you know, people start to believe it. People actually believe that white supremacy is a problem in our country. It's like six people yes, I'm being hyperbolic, but it's not a lot of people at all. And the thing is, there is a white supremacy problem. It's more of an elitist problem. Because George Soros is a white Hungarian Jew, and he believes in his own supremacy. White talking heads on cable news who are covering up for all this crap, getting white people and black people to fight, and they know full well what's going on. I mean, if you want to get to the real white supremacist, it's George Soros and it's Bernie Sanders who want to depopulate, or Bill Gates, and they want to depopulate the third world. But I've digressed and I've kind of lost the point of what I was getting at. The point is it's, you know, this is an information problem. And if you're not actively seeking truthful information and you're not surveying the scene and kind of getting, a full spectrum view, you're literally just not going to know what's going on. And you could have a private conversation with a million people and you're going to get a million different ways people think about Black Lives Matter. That's why the nebulous term, and when I say nebulous, I mean it's unframable. It's such a stupid phrase that it could mean anything to anybody. But my overall point, and I'll just boil it down, is that it's a compartmentalized thing. The average person doesn't know that there's billions of dollars being funded into this movement, and the goal is chaos. Because what do you get out of chaos? Well, you get order. It's just the natural flow of things. But let's say you want the order. Let's say you want to order society, or you want to govern society, or you want to control society. Well, it's a scam. Then you need to create the chaos. You need to foment the emotions that create the chaos. And then when all the dust and smoke settles, you're the person standing there opportunistically with the solution. And that's exactly what's going on here. But the average person, I'll say, is low level, not because of, you know, they're stupid, or not because, you know, they want to be low level. It's just because the information that they're receiving is bad. A lot of people get their news from Snapchat. I mean, that whole platform, if you look at the news that's pushed onto you, is racist garbage. The problem we have here is truth. And there's a lot being done so that the truth is suppressed. We're entering into a society where truth can't be told. Truth is a menace, to quote that show, Twilight Zone. And the people doing their darndest job to tell the truth are facing a lot of sore trials. Because the media can just paint them into whatever and however they want. They can just make stuff up. So, like, an example of that is the InfoWars crew from InfoWars.com went to some of the protests in Austin, I believe it was, and they saw a fire, and they saw the reflections of fire under an overpass or whatever. So, you know, they have a camera crew. So they went over to it, and some of the Antifa or the Black Lives Matter people had started a homeless encampment on fire, you know, an individual's belongings on fire. And the homeless guy shows up and he runs up to the person with the camera and he's mad. And you know, InfoWars caught the people who started the fire, but the media and Twitter and everybody said that Alex Jones did it. InfoWars did it. But they don't show the video. They don't show the clip. Because we live in a time where people can just make claims, and if it's in line with you know, the overall narrative structure of the media, then people just believe it. But back to my overall point is, it's an information problem. And even in my own, I live in a very conservative community, and I attend a conservative church, and even in those circles, people don't fully know what's going on. They don't know the ins and the outs. They don't know the details. That's why this Black Lives Matter, you know, catchphrase it was nebulous on purpose. There's a reason it isn't only Black Lives Matter, because that's obviously wrong. And if we don't use our higher mind, we can catch ourselves getting caught up in all this nebulous stuff. And that's a really good way to control the debate as well. If you're going to engage somebody on, you know, certain facts that, because you're attempting to possibly shed some light on maybe, you know, on what they're not understanding about, you know, doing a Blackout Tuesday on their Facebook, you're already automatically going to be seen as the enemy, because no one can disagree with Black Lives Matter. The only way I've seen people pierce through the veil is when it's a black person asking people if they care about the biggest way black people die. And they can ask, you know, a black person can ask a group or an individual, say, are you concerned with the biggest cause of death in the black community? The person has to say yes, because obviously. And then they say it's abortion. And then that person has to like glitch and twitch, because it's like a glitch in the matrix. They pierced through the narrative. See, these narratives have this like spellbound overlay over people, where everyone hears a thing, so then that's how everybody operates. It's really crazy. It's crazy to witness when you're armed and you understand a bunch of other information. I don't watch regular TV programming actually at all. It's because there's other things. There's competing things out there that have my attention. So I don't see cable news, and I don't see commercials, and I see things pushed. I see how YouTube and Amazon and, you know, they're pushing all these race-based movies and whatever, and Facebook has the ads for fighting racial discrimination and asks if I donate $18 and whatever. I see that, but I don't see the average programming that people have. So when I see people who are ideologically possessed, I'm looking at a person who has, you know, escaped their higher mind and their critical mind from thinking. And if you disconnect yourself from the responsibility that you think you have to talk some sense into that chap or whatever, you can actually learn a lot you can learn a lot about the programming if your goal isn't to like get them on your side or whatever. You can learn a lot about the programming, and I think that's actually more important in the long run, is the programming. It's how does the programming work? Because these are mass psychological programs being put onto people. And that sounds so tinfoil hatty, and I admit it, but I'm just using my eyes to trying to communicate poorly what I'm seeing. Because you have to be able to escape the emotions that are associated with all of this. You should be more emotional that the majority of black children are aborted. That should be where, you know, you get sick to your stomach and you want, and you should have an emotional reaction. It shouldn't be where, you know, if there's a riot in your town, you think you need to go down there and defend somebody's property. I think that would be, when that's necessary, that is a very big individual circumstance where that would be necessary. But if you feel so compelled, by all means, I wouldn't stop you. But I think what's overall important is for individuals to, if and when they engage people, ask probing questions so that you can understand the programming that's involved here. Because emotional programming is like almost a sure stop to any truthful information. Truthful information can only be received when somebody's calm. Truthful information can only be received when an individual is open. Truthful information can only be, you know, given to people like that. And that's not going to be at a riot. You know, you can't have two football teams, you know, stop mid-play, you know, take off all their jerseys, and then everyone sits down and says, why are we doing this? Because it's not the rules of the game. So, overall point is, it's an information problem. It's a compartmentalized structure. There's been caught on tape that leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement have admitted that they're Marxists. And Marxists want to overthrow society. They want to restructure society. And in our current time, they want to take down capitalism. So that's what Karl Marx was all about. And there are multiple ways of doing that. A society that's built on liberty and freedom has many weak and tender points, and they tend to exploit those to create, you know, if they take out the base of a structure, that structure can fall pretty easily. You know, that's true with anything. So that's the overall point, is kind of what I've concluded, is that it's an information problem, and your responsibility isn't necessarily to convince every individual, you know, about how you think about this stuff. Because you can't, number one. It might be a futile effort. And through the course of this podcast, I kind of realized the overall goal is to try to understand how the programming works. Because when you're, you know, if you really are concerned about how someone feels about this stuff, then I think you'll listen pretty introspectively to what they're saying. But the average person can't, it's a shame, but the average person can't delineate a set of problems. Everything's been so dumbed down to kind of a black or white scenario, pun intended. It can't be, you know, problems can't be multifaceted. And the people who can think multifacetedly, if that's a word, they're not involved in any of this stuff. Thomas Sowell is a black economist, a black philosopher. He did a great quote about slavery. You'd have to go look it up. But he also had another great quote about, you know, how multifaceted problems really are. And how the masses of people, you know, in a general way, don't really have the mental ability to see the ins and outs of an issue. Or of issues that are interrelated. And I think that's where the mob and, you know, a democracy has its power. And that's why they're terrible. They boil, they pop, they explode, and they crumble. That's why you need something concrete that never moves, like a society built on laws that protects everybody's rights equally. But I've also said that before. But that's my rant for the day.